blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close by the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness rove. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Soon the race will be over, I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Is that your prayer? Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. That first verse again. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. If you haven't heard that message, the church in its condition in a while, if you listen to that message, he's talking about that lamb nature that keeps that heavenly dove right there with you. And I said, Lord, help me. Help us to have that nature of that lamb. You're arguing, fussing, strifing, all those things. He says that Holy Spirit just takes that flight. Amen. But we can have that lamb nature. He's there with us to guide us through by his grace and be something real for the Lord. Amen. Let's sing 169, Wonderful. Amen. He's our counselor, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Many times you have problems in life and the world says you need a psychologist, but we have a counselor. We can talk to him. We can bring our problems to him. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. And He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. And He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Let's stand. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lowly station, since my soul has received full and free salvation. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Is He your counselor, Prince of Peace? Mighty God is He, and He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Just clap. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Glory, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. Wonderful, praise the Lord, Brother Mark. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So all the young ones, always remember, your mom is a princess choosing to take care of you. Amen. Just to encourage all the young people, when I was that age, my brother and I, we have an old video recording probably back in 88. And my brother, my mom was busy cleaning up. And he was, Mom, record me, record me, record me. She's working hard. He's like, Mom, right now, do it, do it. You know, we couldn't understand that back then. We look at it now, it's like, what were we thinking? My goodness. We couldn't see anything that she was doing, all this cleaning, all this. We couldn't even see it. We just wanted her to do what we wanted her to do. My. She wasn't yelling at us. She was like, give me a minute, give me a minute, give me a minute. But my, when you have your own kids, you can see now. You see mommy's tired. You're like, oh, my goodness. And my. So we've been telling our kids all week, you know, if mom calls, you don't say, what? Huh? No, you say, yes, yes, ma'am, yes. Appreciate your mom. So all the young people do that this week. Don't, huh? What? Don't do that. Amen. Give her a little respect this week by the grace of the Lord. And let it carry on for a year. Amen. Let's sing, Blessed is the Name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. He's that tower we can run into. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. What's his name? Oh, and Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, Most High. And Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it and they are saved. Just the sisters, blessed is the name of the Lord. Oh, amen. Come on, sisters. All right, brother, just the brothers.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High.
Everybody, Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Oh, and Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, Most High. And Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High.
The name of the Lord.
Oh, the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it and they are saved.
Blessed is the name of the Lord, everybody. Oh, and
blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, Most High. And blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So that little competition between the sisters and the brothers. Now Brother Wade knows who's more awake. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ready for the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll sing 629, Mercy Rewrote My Life, as we just get our hearts ready for the word. 629, it was mercy that all of us are here by God's mercy. Amen. If it wasn't for that mercy, none of us would be standing here right now. Amen.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, it was mercy. my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh Lord, it was mercy that rewrote. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Oh, it was mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, and I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy with all your heart rewrote my life. Mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, it was mercy that rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Praise the Lord for that mercy. Open the eyes of our heart. Let's get ready for the word. Pray God bless our brother and use him in a mighty way this morning and just speak to our hearts. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, Lord.
To see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be among the bride, the chosen bunch. Good to see every one of you. I know some of you, some of them have left to go see their mothers, and I kind of figured that. So this is Mother's Day, and we thank all you mothers for being mothers. And we know who our spiritual mother is. The Bible tells us who that is. We had that in the Bible study the other day. That's Israel from above, not Jerusalem from down here, or Jerusalem from above, or Israel coming down. That's our mother. I told him, you know, God's our father. So who's your mother? Your mother's the Word of God. Because that's where you... How'd he get in here? The deacons were told... No. Hey, Kendrick. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you. I know your mama's happy. She's smiling. It's a bigger teeth about to fall out. Good to have you with us today. Whatever I was saying, just forget about it. Next Saturday is a fellowship meeting. No, as we were talking about getting our nourishment. We get our nourishment through the Word of God, so that's our mother. Our mother is the Word of God because that's where we get our nourishment from. We get our nourishment from our mama. You know, us daddies, we can shove the bottle in the baby's mouth, but they really get their nourishment from the mother. All right, so remember next Saturday's fellowship meeting already been announced. Already downstairs, Brother Richard Roberts has put a sign-up sheet for the Father's Day feast. Man, where's this year gone? Good grief, it's only a month from now. June the 16th through the 18th. You'll see it downstairs. Sign up if you're going. That will be, we will leave Sunday afternoon after second service, and we will go and we will just eat and fellowship. We'll have four cabins this year right there together in a different spot, but they'll be right there together, and they'll all be air-conditioned, so you won't have to worry about sleeping in the yurts this year. That was an experience. Yes, praise the Lord. You're right. Did it one night. So we thank God for air conditioning. Amen. Aaron does too because it's his job. So the 16th through the 18th, and then Monday evening we will have our low country boil. Now Tony doesn't have to ask me 25 times what a low country boil is. He knows what it is now. So, or 24 times. Sorry, I don't mean to exaggerate. But that's our Father's Day fishing trip. He wanted to know what a low country boil was. You know, he knows what it is now, and it's really good. Brother John and Sister Maya. John called me yesterday and said that they were doing good. Sister Maya was at home. She's weak, but she's at home. And they will be coming down, and he'll be going to the Father's Day fishing trip with us. That's the first thing he asked. He said, we're going to have a low country boil. I said, yep, God willing, we're going to have a low country boil. So just keep that in your prayers and sign up downstairs if you're going. All right. We want all the older ones that went last year that had a really good time. Brother Kylie and Brother Darty. Brother Darty just fished till we had to go pull him out at night. Brother Darty just sat out there and fished. Caught a lot of fish too. So we'll do some lake fishing this year. So God bless each and every one of you. Also remember, Brother Jewel called this morning, said tell everybody, hey, he would be back ministering again in June. He said he would call you the weekend he was open and for you to have him come here and preach. He hasn't preached since March, 1st of March. So he's going to be 3 months out, full-time evangelist on the field. So God's blessed him, but he still needs his rest, and he covets your prayers. Oh, one more thing, July the 19th through the 21st. Now, we're trying to get Brother Dale to go with us, but Brother Chris Long is having his annual meeting out there in Flagstaff, Arizona. Actually, it's Cottonwood, Arizona. And he's invited me to come and do one of the services and also. So anyway, we'll see. But Brother Joel Brown and Brother Darrell Ward will be there also preaching. It'll be a 3 or 4 day, I think it's 4 service, 3 day meeting out there. So just keep us in your prayers. All right, everybody good? Let's turn to Revelation 8. And let's begin today on the 7th seal. We need your prayers that we can get through this. This is, and I want to admonish everybody and even myself also. There's a brother, we were discussing on the phone the other day. He said, you know, when Brother Branham preached all that 6 seals, he preached it. It was like some big, you know, like a concert, like it comes to a crescendo, you know, it comes to a great thing, you know, something fixing to happen, something fixing to happen, something fixing to happen. And then it don't happen. I mean, look at Brother Bram on the 7th seal. You watch him. We'll read, not today, but we'll read some of the quotes where he's not fumbling around, but he's not, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. It's a secret, but he's trying to find something to say. He goes back and talks about Israel and talks about the first one thing and another, finally begins to talk about himself, but he wasn't satisfied. Remember, he makes the tape. The next day he's not satisfied. He goes back into a motel room with Brother Fred Softman. If you're reading your book, you'll see that. Brother Fred Softman and I think it was Gene Norman, one of them, and they retaped part of the 7th seal. He wasn't satisfied with what he preached that Sunday. So, and we'll get more into that, but I want you to see that this may be kind of a, Brother Brown talks about being a resting time or a time that's just kind of, you know, even the interval that we're going to discuss in just a minute back over again. It's kind of a time of rest. It's kind of a time to get your brain kind of locked back into what, you know, what's going on. So, Just keep us in your prayers, and it's if this seal doesn't open, we don't go in the rapture.
Right.
If this seal doesn't open, we don't take a body change.
Right.
All right, all the other ones are good. Six seals finishes redemption. That's wonderful, and that's great, and that's exactly the truth. But if the seventh seal doesn't come and reveal itself, then it's all in vain. I mean, well, sure, we'll have a, you know, we'll still do funerals and things like that and all that, and one day God's going to come, but that's not the way it's going to happen. Somebody's got to come to that spot to where that seal opens to you. So Revelation 8, verse 1, let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray today that you would be the one that does the speaking, be the one that does the revealing, because only you can do that, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Give us supernatural strength for this journey. And as you said in the word, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So we're coming up here to the seventh seal. The great number seven, the end of all things, has come upon us, Lord. We pray that you would help us through this journey. And number one, to never forget you. Live a real good Christian life, Lord, and then take these things. And as we were talking downstairs in the Sunday school class, Lord, you don't want us to stay babies. You want us to grow up. You want us to do adult things. You want us to come to a place that we are more mature, that you can speak, Lord, to us, and we will truly have the mind of Christ to be able to speak it back out into this dark world that we're living in. Lord, we pray that you just sanctify us for the journey. Be with the sick, Lord. Be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are with their mothers. Lord, thank you for all the mothers that are here, Lord, and the ones that have even have passed on, Lord. We thank God for them, as Brother John was talking about, Lord. They truly are the cream of the crop. A true mother. They'll take care of the children, take care of the home, take four or five boxes of anything and make a meal out of it. Take many different things and just make miracles a mother that is, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, and let the mother of the word sink down in our heart today, Lord. That you will take us, Lord, to a higher level, a higher plane, some place, Lord, that you've wanted man to be. I truly believe it's the atmosphere that you had with Adam when you were in the Garden of Eden before the fall. That there was an atmosphere of fellowship and worship there between two omnipotents. And I pray, Lord, that that's what it comes back to now. It's where two omnipotents meet, Lord. We can look face to face in our Creator's eyes and say, Father, and you look and say, well done, my son. I pray that you just be with us now, take care of us, and lead us, guide us in this journey. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields. Lord, Brother Ernie sent us all that email yesterday showing many pictures of him being over there and just having a good time. Boy, he looked really good with his smile and the people smiling around him. Lord, they were glad to see him, Father. Just give him supernatural strength. And bless him and take care of him, Lord. Just sanctify us in Jesus' name. Amen. Did y'all get that, Brother Ernie? Boy, he looked so happy to be there. So it had been 14 years since he had been to the Philippines. So let's just keep him in our prayers. I think he's still over there doing some preaching. Revelation 8:1, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now let's go to John 19 and read the scripture like we were talking last week. John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's read one more. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So now we're going to do a little something today that we may not be here very long, but we're going to, when we get finished with this part, this is going to be the seal. This is when the seal is 8:1. When that seal opened, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. So there's, like we were saying before, Jesus, when he said it is finished, he had finished the part that he had done to that moment. He wasn't finished. It wasn't the end, but it was the end of what he had to do in his plan of redemption as hanging on the cross. But now remember, on the surface, it looked like nothing was going on. I mean, here they had put this man in a tomb and they had put the seal in there, and then they just went on. The next day was their Sabbath day, so they were just, they were having a day of rest, and it was a high Sabbath because the Passover and Sabbath came together on that day because they had to kill the lamb. So the natural lamb was killed on the Saturday, but the spiritual lamb was killed the day before, was on the Passover evening, all right? And so that showed that was Christ was the lamb, the Passover lamb. But when they put him in that tomb, he wasn't finished as far as that goes. He actually went to work. He went to hell and preached to the souls that were in prison. He went to paradise and emptied up paradise and brought them up with him, brought up a resurrection with him. And then when he come out of that tomb, he didn't have to roll the stone away. He just didn't physically have to do it. He just moved the stone out of the way of his own will and walked out. And then he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So there was the seventh seal on display. The man had done his work. And Brother Branham said one tenth of 100%. He got way down there. Didn't even know Christ was on the earth at the time. Amen. So that's the way it's going to be now. You and I are a strange group of people. We are not normal. And some of the kids might want to say amen to that, but I'm not talking about that kind of abnormal. I'm talking about spiritually abnormal. All right. But you know what? Jesus Christ was that way. He wasn't a normal guy. He didn't come the way they thought he was going to come. But remember, when we talk about this seal, keep some part, this thing in the back of your mind, that the seal, the seal was very, on the surface, uneventful. Because listen, when the first seal opened, you had what? Activity. You had a white horse. You had a bow. You had this. And second seal, you had a red horse that you could look at and you could see this guy riding with, you know, one of them had balances and then this one happened to this. And then the fifth seal, you look and you see souls under the altar. Sixth seal, you look and oh my heavens, the tribulations are going on in that sixth seal. I mean, the whole world's in chaos. So there's things going. Then you come up to the seventh seal. That's why I said it's not a letdown at all. But it is on the surface as being human beings, you read that seal and you go, where do we go from here? Because it's hidden. That seal hides everything. That seal is the most powerful seal. That's why I read Ephesians 4:30. And we were talking about this in the Philippines. There's only one seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. All right, now don't forget that word redemption, because remember, when we come to this seventh seal, redemption is over. But now we also got to remember that seal, see, here's the whole situation. We wait. We'll get to it a little bit later. We wait. We go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then something's going to happen. Well, nothing happened. I mean, sit here for 30 minutes and don't move and don't say amen. Turn everything off. No music. Of course, most of you do that anyway and fall asleep, but still, maybe that 30 minutes of silence wouldn't be so bad. But we have, you just try, it's boring to an individual. But once we see the underneath, the thunder, what that seal really is, it's the greatest seal that ever was to open. Because remember, he didn't open all the way over here. When the prophet of God stood out there the first day and said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, there goes a white horse rider. Well, the seventh seal is the lamb. The lamb is the seventh seal. So the seventh seal showed up on the first seal. Right. To open that first seal. It couldn't open without Jesus Christ being on the scene, telling the prophet, and we're going to read it next Sunday. I didn't bring it with me this time, but like Brother Dale was talking about this morning, there's two times in the seventh seal where Brother Brown says, this was way away from my thinking. I was going on my old notes. I was going to preach this right here. And it was totally opposite to what I was preaching formerly, because he had had his thought many times that the fifth seal Jew was the martyred church age. Right? And the first seal he preached was the Holy Ghost and all these different things. So all that was turned away from what he was thinking. But to me, see, that was the seventh seal working. There was silence there, but he was working in a prophet, he, Jesus Christ. And then even on the questions and answers on the seals, Brother Branham answers a question wrong. Revelations 5, somebody asked him, who is these people? And they said, oh, that's, and Brother Branham said, no, that's not the, said, is that the bride? And he said, no, that's not the bride. And then he goes on and he starts answering the next question. And he said, stop, something's wrong. Okay, stop, something's wrong. Somebody need to be prayed for. He didn't even know himself. And then Brother Ned Iverson, which was sitting behind him, said, read your scripture again. Now, there were several people in that building that knew what that scripture meant. But Brother Branham said, he said, thank God for Christ being on the scene to show, what? He wasn't going to let him make any mistakes anymore.
Glory.
Seventh seal, there's no mistake in it. Now, sixth seal, you can have these different types and shadows, but the seventh seal is one person.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? There is no imitation. You say, oh, no, no, there's no imitation. When that seventh seal is not Christ and the Antichrist.
Right.
No, it's Christ.
Amen.
It's the headstone. It's that head right up there.
Right.
All right? And like we were talking about in the interval, the period between the two events. We were talking about the other day, we were talking about the six seals. Then there's a gap. Remember that about three or four Sundays ago? There's a gap or an interval in between the two events, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, between the sixth vial and the seventh vial, between all the church, everything, there's an interval from the sixth to the seventh. And it's a time of resting, a pause, a gap, if you want to pull it up. And there was one I missed. You want to pull that up there? There was one I missed, and I'm glad the Lord showed me that, because you guys see all your types. Because what happened with, remember we even showed that who came on the scene after every, in the interval, there was the Holy Ghost coming.
Right.
Same way with the seals. What happened with the seals? You got six seals. Then you got Revelation 7, which is God, the Holy Ghost, going to through two prophets to take Israel out. And then the seventh seal produces itself. He comes back to earth and fights for Israel. And that's what the Bible says. Now, he doesn't come back in a physical form. We know that. But still, it talks about, in Daniel, it talks about the Christ coming and fighting for Israel. All right, so watch. And then what does he do? 144,000 people, 144,000 are saved, and then they're caught up. Then on the trumpets, you got trumpet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then you got a gap, which is Revelation 10:1. Everybody right? Yeah, 10:1. And that's the mighty angel. That's Christ. That's the Lamb. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the person of God coming down, the mighty angel coming down, right? And then we see the vials was the same way, the three unclean spirits like frogs. And to have the three unclean spirits like frogs, God had to reveal what that was. Through the Holy Ghost, God revealed that was the Trinitarian doctrine. All right? And then Christ and the Holy Ghost is present to reveal. We see that that's what it is. So now we see, if we've now come to the sixth seal, and we're finished with the sixth seal, then God's the one that's going to have to reveal all this to us. It can't be just me or Brother Dale or anybody else. But I missed one. When we look at our types and our shadows, we have to make it all fit. Between the sixth and seventh church age, now, in the Bible, there's not an interval. But when Brother Branham comes on the scene, everybody with me? And he's talking about the church ages, and then we went through it. Remember, no messenger to the age. Between the sixth church age and the seventh church age, no messenger to the age, the Holy Ghost comes himself in the fullness of the baptism. So there's another interval. For the seventh seal to come on the scene, there has to be the Holy Ghost here and not just in partial word. Because look, the Holy Ghost has been here the whole time.
Right.
Our problem is we just not let him work the way he wants to work. That's our problem. We've not let him work the way he's supposed to work, because we've had these scruples and we've had these rabbit trails that we go down, and we've had these things that we've had in our mind that are tradition. Remember the tradition we were talking about the other day about, you know, mama's walking on the streets of gold with Jesus right now. Well, that's not true. There's not even a Bible for that. But it's been told so many times down through the ages of tradition that everybody believes it. Same way with, like Brother Branham was talking, I was reading it yesterday. Brother Branham said the Catholic Church deals with dogma. Now, dogma is something that the Catholic Church comes up with. It's not biblical. Now, part of it is. But now remember, in this seventh seal, Brother Branham said, Satan cannot interpret this. He cannot impersonate this. Right? We'll read those quotes a little bit later on. But we have been in a gap or a pause or a space or a rest or a breach or an interlude like we were talking about the other day in the acts of a play. Now we're in, I believe, we're in the seventh act of this play that we're in. And then the curtain, when the curtain closes, God's going to take us out of here. All right? We're going to be gone. There's not going to be any bride left. Amen? But you and I are going to have to come to a place that we've never been before. That's why I read you that scripture about Joshua. Joshua, when they got ready to go over, he said, you got to leave an interval, leave a space, because you never went this way before. We're going to let the priest go ahead. We're going to let the word go ahead. And then you're going to follow right behind. But not right up close to them, because you may stumble. You may stumble into something or stumble on something. But you watch those priests and you watch the man with the ark on his back. And once they get about 1,000 meters and he starts walking, if he makes a little turn this way, you got to make that turn once you get there. That's the same way with you and I. It's really the analogy Brother Branham used about a prophet. You know, anybody, and really, honestly, I can build a straight wall. I just cannot make that corner thingy that Daddy makes. I can't make that. Well, it takes a prophet. It takes somebody that knows what they're doing to turn that corner of the building. And it's really nothing. It's the same 2x4s that you use going down the wall. You just put them together a little bit different, all right, and make a corner. All right, so that's what the prophet did. That's what we're trying to explain this morning. Thank God, you know, that Brother Branham can be, you can call it, give him all kind of titles. But I just know one thing's for sure. If it had not been for him, we would not be where we're at today in the Word of God. So God knew that and sent us a prophet so we would be where we are in the Word today, the Word of God. What he preached is now living inside of us, doing the work. Amen. So who is it? It's the Holy Ghost. And then Brother Branham on the seals, he says, Christ, the Lamb, the Holy Ghost, self same person. So we're not talking about 3 or 4 different people. We're talking about one person. And if it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, is that a different Christ inside of you than the one that did the redeeming? How can you be redeemed? You got to become the Redeemer. Right. Amen? Like I told you in Revelation 5, that book that God that the Lamb takes is you. And if he took the book, you got to be worthy, or he wouldn't take the book. That's not a book of the living. That's not the book that's over there in the book of Revelations that talks about the white throne judgment. That's not that book. That book is a book of the names of the redeemed. That is the sons and daughters of Almighty God.
Right.
That is not just every person in the world.
Right.
Why? Because they're not worthy.
Right.
But you and I are worthy, because the way you look in these seals, and if you'll look and see how that God moved up through there, even with Brother Branham, and he said, I've never worked in a realm like this before. He said, I've seen healings and I've seen all these things going on. He said, but this right here, he said, in other words, this is the apex of my ministry.
Right. Exactly right.
And it didn't seem like nothing was going on as far as what we think is going to go on, you know, as far as the healings and the signs and the wonders and many different things. If you'll notice, even when he had the prayer line in the questions and answers on the seals, it was just, they come through the line and he said, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. It was just a normal prayer line. It wasn't very much supernatural going on. He didn't call many people out. I don't think he called anybody out. So you see what I mean? It's coming to a place to where, what are you saying, Brother Wade? All right, you got to have a personal experience yourself.
Right.
You got to know that you know that you know.
Right.
Not that I know that Brother Mark knows.
Right.
Not that I know that Brother Dale knows. You got to know that you know that you know that that seventh seal has been revealed to you. You, personally, it started as a personal relationship, and it's got to end as a personal relationship.
Right.
Amen? So you and I have got to come to a place, but we have to go through that little journey called redemption. Because
right.
To redeem, there is things you have to do.
Right.
Remember, what did Boaz have to do? Boaz, a type of Christ, what did he have to do?
Right.
He had to not only take the shoe off, he had to go to the near kinsman,
right.
said, hey, are you going to do this? And we know what the story is. That's type of the devil. He had to go to the devil first, right? He had to go to the near kinsman, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. And then Boaz, God Almighty, he just turns this thing around on the devil, and he says, okay, he said, you got to have a baby with her, and you got to raise up that baby in your name. He said, whoa. Well, you go ahead. So, because, see, Satan don't want to mar his name. That's what, Satan don't want to mar that beautiful name that he's got. I'll take Christian any day. But so Boaz, what did he do though? To do the rite of redemption though, he didn't just say, okay, it's over with. No, he had to go stand out in a public place. You see what I'm talking about? There's scenes here. He had to go out in a public place. He had to take his shoe off and he had to hand it to somebody. I don't remember who it was, but he had to hand it and say, I redeem everything that Naomi has lost. Then in redeeming everything that Naomi had lost, he gets Ruth. And then, of course, we know the story. They have a child, and they give the child back to the mother, and the perfect type of us giving the message back to Israel. When the baby's born, we take the baby back to Naomi and say, here's Jesus Christ, and that's what goes to through the 144,000. Right. All right, so let's read just a couple of quotes here, and then we'll... I kind of figured we would be on resting mode today, so I got us a little something we're going to look at about the number 7, because the number 7 is, there's some good things in there. All right? Let's look at the first quote. Let me read this again, because I want you to see. Now, we come to the seventh seal, and we say, oh, well, the seventh seal is something different. No, it's still the plan of redemption. It is the ending. It is the total summation of from when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden to today. All right? Now, our kinsman is handed the seven seal book of redemption from the original owner. Now, this is Revelation 5. It's what he's talking about, Revelation chapter 5. When we lost it in the Garden of Eden through Adam, it went back to the original owner. But there's been a poacher on the land, a squatter, that's Satan. He came over, he's a poacher. Now, remember, he's the one that's riding through the church ages. He's the one that's messing all this up. This earth don't belong to him, belongs to God, but he's a poacher, a squatter. Man, how I could say something right now, but I better not. Is the title deed of our redemption this seven seal book? He's not asking a question, he's telling us. The title deed of redemption is this seven seal book. Yeah. It's the title deed. You wait till we get into the seals. He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people.
Right.
All right, so the seventh seal has to be the Lamb, God Almighty, Christ, Jesus Christ, that came down and paid the price. He's the one that breaks the seal, because remember, the Lamb breaks the seal.
Right.
Not the Father. We know it's the same person, but we got a position we got to look at.
Right.
The Father is on the throne and gives the book, or actually the Lamb takes the book, and the Lamb breaks the seal. That's why it's a book of redemption. The Lamb is always the redemption. It's the sacrifice. He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. Now, what did he inherit while he was here on earth? He inherited eternal life in his body. He didn't need eternal life in the soul. He didn't need eternal life in his spirit. He needed eternal life in his body. And that's the inheritance that he received by breaking the seals.
Right.
Now listen, breaking the seals means that you got something to do with it.
Right.
He didn't just break it and throw the book away. No, he broke it and opened the book and says, here comes Regina, here comes Sister Peggy, here comes Sister Charlotte, here comes Sister Brother. He opened the book to reveal you.
Right.
To reveal you, not him. We know who he is. He's been written all down through the Bible. But he's the most misunderstood person there is in the Bible.
Right.
So are you going to be any different? No, they're going to be the same way with you. They're not going to understand who you are. I've told you many times, that one mystery in Revelation 10:7 is you.
Right.
The mystery of God should be finished.
Right.
Amen? Amen? He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited, becoming kinsman redeemer, and freely gives it out to us. It all belonged to him. He was the one who redeemed, but instead of keeping it himself, he gives it back to the people. All right, so you and I are recipients of this. That's his love for us. See, Satan wouldn't have that kind of love. If you gave Satan eternal life, he'd be the most selfish person in the world. That's just his attitude. All right, let's read number two, the breach. Now, when we go to break these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scriptures all the way back. Now, listen to what he's saying. Now, when we go to breaking these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scripture all the way back. For each one of these seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery lays right here in these seals. Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals, and the seals cannot be broken until that time. I'll prove it here in just a minute. Notice now the book, remember, is sealed. Here's one. Here's this seal. Then another one. Remember, this is what he's doing. He's twisting it up like this, because remember, it's not in a book form. It's in a scroll form. All right? Another one wrapped a seal. It's a book of redemption. And the whole thing together makes the book. And it's sealed with seven seals. And being it's on the backside, it's because it's wound up. The seal mystery is on the inside. He's just telling you right there. The seal mystery is on the inside. This is the seal mystery. The seal, sure, that was number one mystery that the seal part was. But once it was tore off, you don't have to rehash. Listen, once Brother Brown preached that the white horse rider was the Antichrist, I believe most people was like, wow, we should have seen that because of the way it presents itself. Now, we don't have to go back and rehash that. It's broke. But now what's inside of it, we do over and over and over again. We have to go to church. We have to read our Bible. And we have to see that the part that we didn't see that now we can see is that seven seal book of redemption. It's a book of redemption. And the whole thing together makes the book, and it's sealed with seven seals. Being on the backside is because it's wound up. The seal mystery is on the inside. Now, where's your mystery? Where's your mystery? Your mystery is on the inside. Because you know what? I see you just like I did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Well, almost. Well, you had more hair than that, and it was darker. But anyway. But now, what I'm saying is we all changed, but we're not changed inside. We got changed one time inside. And that's the mystery, is that God's inside there doing a work, and we're getting older and older and older. And really older. A lot older. Really old. But that's a mystery. The seal's a mystery. Seal is on the mystery is on the inside. And it only says white horse rider, black horse rider, what more on the outside, see? But the mystery of the whole book is in them seals. From Genesis to Revelation, the complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. Oh, it's an important time. Now look, we've read the quote many, many times that six seals finishes redemption. Now he's telling us that seven seals holds the whole plan of redemption. Everybody with me? Everybody with me? We know six seals finishes redemption because there's nothing, seven seals, just silence in heaven. So that ought to prove to you that number seven had to be at number one, had to be at number two, had to be at number three, had to be four, had to be five, had to be at number six. The seventh seal had to be on the scene revealing all these other seals. Then when you get to number seven, he's going to give you that inheritance that he inherited, which is what? Eternal life in your body. Well, it don't excite some, but I guess it does excite some. All right, number three. It is the rising of the sun. Look what we've seen in this day. The quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. Now look, we think, like Brother Dale's saying this morning, I was thinking about it while he was preaching. You go back to your old idea that you gotta have an emotion, you gotta have a cry, you gotta have a cloud, or you gotta have a what? If the quickening power came and opened the seals during that week, Brother Branham said that was the greatest week he'd ever been in. They didn't many people get healed. There wasn't a great shining light come down in the tabernacle. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Then you get on the seventh seal and he acts like he really don't know where to go, how to go, what's going on. We're going to take this right now. This is all we got to go on. But the quickening power was the seventh seal that would not let Brother Branham make a mistake. No more mistakes. The whole week, God was orchestrating that whole week worth of services. And He was there doing the work. But He was doing it for me and you. So the quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. Because remember, look, it's not how many people. Let me try to get this right. Brother Brown didn't have to heal 850 people, raise 14 from the dead. You understand? He didn't have to get a resume.
Right.
He didn't have to get a resume so that God could speak to him so he could open the seals.
Right.
No, he came to a position in the Word of God.
Right.
He came to a position in the Word of God. Now, we all that other is extra stuff. That's manifestations around. Signs follow the believer. But what happened was God was opening the Word up to the prophet, and here he was and all these things going on. But look, the quickening power, what was it? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God.
Right.
That he could stand on that platform and know that he could not make a mistake.
Right.
From there to the time he left, he could not make a mistake.
Glory.
God winked at all of our ignorance, but there's come a time now to where, look, Jesus Christ never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. We only have 3.5 years. Remember the silent years? We don't know anything about much. But that 3.5 year message, that man walked in human flesh and never made one mistake. Now you say, well, he might have got lost one day and when he was a kid, you know. You understand what I mean? When he spoke, it was God speaking. That was the seventh seal producing itself, because when he spoke, things happened. All right. Same thing with you and I. What was it? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God. See, the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. See, the quickening power of God made the world testify to it. He's talking about the angels out in Arizona.
Right.
It's the truth. The angel of the Lord, I told you, was around in a pillar of fire. Now, there's nobody. Brother Ram told him on the seventh seal and on the sixth seal. He said, there's something going on this whole week. And said, I was hoping somebody would figure it out or would come. And nobody did.
Right.
There's something going on all week. What? The angel of God.
Right.
The pillar of fire was in that building every single service and nobody saw it. That's what he said. See, the quickening power of God made the whole world testify. Now that's out in Arizona. The angel of the Lord, I told you, was around in a pillar of fire. Quickening power, let the world testify that it's the truth. And in that, they didn't know what it was. And we knew, just look this away, and it's our Lord up there, you see. Now, he's talking about turning just like that. He's showing it right there. He's the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. So if he's the seventh seal, then he's the first one, second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one, sixth one. Because no one, Brother Branham, could not open those seals. He tried. He preached them before. He went through them many, many times. Preached them several times. Preached one series on them. Preached all seven in one service. But he never saw this part. Until when he got to that, he's the one who opened those seals. He is those seals.
Yeah.
For the whole Word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. I thought it was the Antichrist. And I thought it was the anti-this and the anti... Christ is the seals that was open. What is the opening of seals then? Revealing Christ.
Glory.
Now, let's take the scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
That's what I said, folks. These seals, we've put them, they're in a book form, we've listened to tape, but what's on this page right here does us no good. But if we become what that is, if you become what that is, then you're a walking seal yourself. That's why I read the scripture. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are seven sealed. Because
yeah.
You're sealed with those seven seals. You are the seal.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get you to see, but I just ain't getting anywhere. Y'all thinking about cake and ice cream or something? I don't know. Number four. We'll turn now to the eighth chapter. Or the first verse, I mean, of the eighth chapter, Revelation 8. I know you're tired. Now just try to listen for a few minutes, and God of heaven help us is my prayer. Now here's, he's reading it. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. Now, I'm going to read this and then we'll break it down later. I just want to tell you what the seal is, but watch what this is. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. It is the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets, because remember, all trumpets sound on the sixth seal, right? It's the end of the vials. Because see what he's talking about, we're fixing to head into the millennium. Seventh seal's got to be on the earth to get us out of here so that we can make it to the millennium.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right? It's the end of everything. Because remember, look, seven is still in time. Redemption happens in time. Redemption cannot happen in eternity. Redemption has to happen in time. That's why the millennium is not a seven, it's an eight.
Right.
We are still under the seventh seal in the millennium because it's still in time. That's redemption still going on. Listen, redemption happens all the way up to the white throne judgment. Amen?
Right.
And there is the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets, end of the vials, end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out, the Bible says. It means Revelations 10, chapter 1 through 7. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more when what? In the days of this great thing to happen. Everything runs out in this time. The end of at the end of this seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. Even ends the ushering in of the millennium.
Right.
Because remember, that seventh seal is going to come back into the millennium with a bride to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years in time, in redemption, still in redemption.
Right.
That's on the seventh seal. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So now let's read number 5. This is what we're going to call this seal in just a minute. Brother Branham named it. And in Sabina Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today. We're going to get into all that later. Because of the sixth seal opened in three parts. The seventh seal opened in three parts. Everybody got that? All right, because three is perfection. But we're going to get into this number 7 in a minute. The other one unfolded today. And there's one that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it. This is the third pull coming up. Now, what is the third pull? The opening of the Word.
Right.
You can say it's this, that, or the other, but it's the opening of the Word. Amen. This is the third pull coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. Oh my, it just shows it's from God. Now, see what he's telling? He's telling, this is, it wasn't that his other 1,150-something sermons wasn't from God. But this was his job. This was what he was sent to do. This was his job, Revelation 10:7, to take this and open these mysteries of these seven seals. All right? It fits exactly in the promises of God from the end of the message. You notice now. For the end of time message, this seal. After all, he's revealed all the six seals. But it don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal. That's what the seventh seal is. It's the end time seal. No one else has had to deal with the seal like you and I are dealing with them now. No one has had to produce Christ in human flesh like we're going to have to.
Right.
All right. But it don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. So see, now everybody's going to put it's on this. What'd he say? It will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Listen, folks, we're going to leave this world and nobody's going to know we're gone. This whole world, you know what? This world's just going to keep on going. This is not like the movie, what was it? Left Behind. Everybody knows that one. It's Left Behind. I mean, you know what? They have the first scene, you know, and cars are all banging together and airplanes are falling out of the sky. Because everybody's going in a rapture, I guess, all but pieces of them, all but parts of them. But this is not. It's going to be a total secret. Even the resurrection's going to be a total secret. We're the only ones that's going to know what's going on.
Right.
There's your seal. It's sealed to the world, but open to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You're sealed up as an individual. You're sealed unto the day of your redemption. All right. So this is now the end time seal. When it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. It says at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries will be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. So you see what I'm saying? The seventh seal is not some event Brother Branham could just step out and say, all right, this is what it is.
No.
He didn't. Read the whole seventh seal book. He never said, this is what it is. There's a few times in there that we're going to deal with that Brother Branham said, it's not open. It's not revealed itself yet. Well, he says right here, if it's the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Everybody okay with that?
Right.
Amen? Yeah. It will be a total secret. And it's opened in a threefold manner. And he spoke of a fold of it. So we're going to get into all that later. I just wanted you to see what the seal was. This seal is probably the most uneventful seal in all the seal series. Because number one, everybody's, you can draw, you know, horses and, hey, look, you can take that, my book, my thing up here, and you can put horse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, then 5 and 6, and you can draw all these things. But what would be on this board if I read what the seventh seal was? It'd be empty.
Yep.
It'd be empty. There'd be nothing to go on except the redemption of Israel, and that's not our seventh seal. That's not what we need to be talking about. We got to get out of here before he can go to Israel. But that board would be completely blank. But you know, as that board is completely blank, you're sitting here today with a life that you've lived in God for ever how many years, it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 50.
Right.
And you have a story to tell.
Right.
You have a story to tell. But you know what? I can't write it on that board.
Right.
You're going to have to come up here and write it on that board.
You're
going to have to come up here and write it on this board.
Right.
I can't write it for you. You're going to have to write it for yourself. Maybe that'll help you in a little while. We'll understand something about this seventh seal.
Right.
So now, as I was sitting yesterday thinking about some things, I thought, you know what? There's all kind of numerologies in the Bible. So I just started looking up the number 7. So let's see what Brother Brown says about the number 7, and then we'll look at it. Some of you can pull it up online, but I got it over there for you. I'm going to hand it out. You know the reason I didn't hand it out to you a few minutes ago or an hour ago? Because you'd be sitting there reading it and you wouldn't be listening to what I was saying. So anyway, I probably should have given it out so you kept you awake. All right, let's read these quotes from Brother Branham. We know Brother Branham said that number 7 is what? Number 7 is? Complete. Say, how long have y'all been in the message? How long y'all been in the message? 7 is the number of completion. Okay. Now watch. Pull this one up. Let's just see how significant this number 7 is. Let's just go to the first one right here. Watch. This is one I was telling you about this morning because we were reading downstairs where Brother Brown was talking about. And I have also said about laying on of hands, we should get away from that. Paul says we should get away from it. Let's read this right here. Mr. Augenbright said to me that number 7 was already healed while I was preaching. Oh. Huh? Number 7 was all, he's calling a prayer line. You know, that's kind of strange that audio you were listening to a few minutes ago was a prayer line. I didn't orchestrate that. God did. Brother Branham was calling numbers for a prayer line. That's what he's doing right here. I just cut it off because he was calling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, And Brother Organbright turns and says, number seven says they've already been healed. Was already healed while I was preaching. Praise the Lord, that's good. That's the original way. I wish Tommy Osborne, if he had come tonight, that's his way of doing it. Lord, Tommy Osborne's doing it and we're not? Preaching the word, and that's the way to do it. Preaching the word and to get healed by preaching. God sent his word, and what did it do? Heal them. That's right. That's good. All right. So look, and it's kind of strange it was number seven. I don't think it was very strange, but I think that's, I'm just telling you what Brother Branham said. Already healed while I was preaching. Now what a great thing, Brother Branham. You know what would have thrilled him more than anything? If he had said, okay, number five, oh, you've already been healed. Number six, oh, you've already been healed. Number seven, oh, you've already been, number eight, you've already been healed. That was what he was looking for. Not having the hands laid on. All right, now look. Go to the very next quote. Seven, God's perfect number. So now seven is God's perfect number. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, just right down the row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now let's go to the number. Well, I didn't number these. Let's go to count now. Now, 10 is a bad number. But man always counts backward. He's talking about countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. What does God do? He starts with his number, 7. That's God's number. Watch him, 7. He counts ahead, starting with 1. He starts with his first church age. Yeah. All right, so 7 is God's number. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Yeah. Next one. 10 virgins and 144,000. Now the church has 7 church ages. And that's the complete number of the church age. That's all 7. 7 is God's completed number. All right. Completion. We're going to look at some things that we're going to look at this commentary here in just a second. But 7 is God's completed number. There's only 50 of these, so don't give one to every kid. Take one and pass it back. Just give it to the adults and those of you that can read. And that may not be the self same person. You got to hand him back there. I can't do all that. But this, we're going to look at what man has come up, and it's really good. While you're passing them out, I just put in the number. What does the number 7 mean? It's the most prominent number in the Bible. It is the most prominent number in the Bible. Now, this first one is going to be hard to read for some of you older ones, but just the way it is what it is. Oh, here's what it is. I hate that statement. Everybody got it? I'll help them out. No, I want this. No, I want these. I don't want one. Thank you. Okay, let's don't get confused here at the beginning. All right, everybody got one? There's older people are over here on this side. You got it? Everybody got one? Okay, well, hang on a minute. Okay, y'all share. Help Boyd read. Put one, give them one back there. Anybody else need one? I got some more. We got some more. Everybody got one? Kendrick? Just watch. You want one or you want to talk? You want to look at your mom? Gilbert, close to her. All right, we're going to have just, this is just going to be, this. We're going to coast for about 20 minutes. Watch this. This is neat. Have you ever looked up the number 7? We're in the 7th seal. This is number 7. 7. 7 is the most prominent, also most important number in the Bible. Now this guy said it's used 465 times. If you count other variations, it's 654. Now there's some other people come up with other ones. Look at the first one. 7 days of creation. God said anyone who killed Cain would have vengeance on him sevenfold. Enoch was the 7th from Adam. He was taken to heaven without dying. God commanded that Noah take 7 clean animals and 7 each of birds. The flood began 7 days after Noah was in the ark. The rainbow has how many colors? 7. God's covenant with Abraham had seven blessings. That's Genesis 12 if you want to read those. Jacob agreed to work 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, and then he worked seven more years. He loved them women a lot. When Jacob went to meet his brother Esau, he bowed seven times. Pharaoh had a dream and Joseph interpreted it. God gave him 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. A Hebrew slave had to only work 6 years and was released in the seventh year. The firstborn of all cattle were given to God, but not until they had been with their mother for 7 days. God commanded the Israelites to give their land a Sabbath every what? 7 years. The golden lampstand, or the menorah, had what? 7 lamps. All right? Then you can keep reading on down through there. After having a male child, a woman was unclean for 7 days. Aaron and his sons were consecrated for 7 days. The Day of Atonement is held on the seventh month. You know what seventh month is? That would be October. Okay, everybody got that? Seventh month's not July. Seventh month in the Jewish calendar is October, because their first month is April, which you say March, April. All right, everybody got that? It took 7 years for Solomon to build his temple. Samson had 7 locks of hair. When Elijah prayed for rain, the servants went to look for rain 7 times, and rain came after the 7th time. The Shunammite woman's son sneezed 7 times after Elisha raised him from the dead. Just keep going. Naaman had to wash what? 7 times. The tribulation will last 7 years. We need to strike that one out. Proverbs mentions 7 things that are abomination to God. There are 7 things that Jesus said while dying on the cross. Jesus healed 7 times on the Sabbath. Jesus fed 4,000 men down at the bottom of the page with 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes. And after everyone ate, there were 7 baskets full left over. Jesus said to forgive 70 times 7. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. Anna was married 7 years when her husband died. Finally, the book of Revelations contains the most use of the number 7 in the New Testament, 53 times. And here, let's read them right here. Churches. There were 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 golden candlesticks, 7 stars, 7 lamps. You know what? The world, this guy right here, the world does not know the significance of this. But we do. We know exactly who them churches are. We know exactly who those 7 spirits are. We know exactly what the candlesticks mean. We know what the stars are. They're the messengers. And we've even got their name. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Brother Brown. Right? This man doesn't. He's just telling you there's 7 in the Bible. And what I'm telling you is, since you're the mystery, you're looking at these 7s going, I know what that is. I know what that type is. Have you not been doing that? If you've not been doing that, you need to go back and read again. If you've not done it, go back and read again. Say, man, I know what that type's. I remember what Brother Brown said about this. I remember this. I remember this. See, folks, that's the seal that you're sealed with. You're sealed with this message, knowing all these mysteries. And it's coming from your brain. Yeah. Oh, yeah, somebody's got to stand up here and spark your memory. But look, there's 7 seals, 7 horns, 7 eyes. We know exactly what that is. Yeah. The horns and the eyes. Right. Angels, trumpets, thunders, 7 heads, 7 crowns, 7 plagues, 7 vials, 7 mountains. We know who's sitting on that one. And 7 kings. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Meaning of the number 7. It's used 735 times, 54 times in the book of Revelation alone. The number 7 is the foundation of God's word. If we include the one where it says sevenfold and seventh, it's 860 references to the number 7. All right? 7 is the number of completeness and perfection. Have you ever thought about this? Look at me. 7 is what? 4 plus 3. The number of redemption and the number of perfection added together makes 7. Anyway, 7 is a number of completeness and perfection, both physical and spiritual. It derives much of its meaning from being tied directly to God's creation of all things. And look at this. You read a little bit further. The Bible as a whole was originally divided into 7 divisions. Law, prophets, writings, or Psalms, the Gospels and Acts, the general epistle, the Epistle of Paul, and the book of Revelations. The total number of originally inspired books was 49, or 7 times 7, demonstrating the absolute perfection of God's Word. I just keep on going. I'm just skimming over this so we don't take up so much time we can go home. In the book of Hebrews, written by the Apostle Paul, he uses 7 titles to refer to Christ. Heir of all things, captain of our salvation, apostle, author of salvation, forerunner, high priest, and the author and finisher of our faith. Pretty neat, huh? In Matthew the 13th, Jesus is quoted as giving 7 parables. 7 psalms are ascribed to David in the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 church ages, 7 seals. He goes over the same thing. But look at this. How about the number 7 with God's annual feast days? How many feast days are there? 7. There's not 8, 6, 5, 4. There's 7. 7 feast days. Beginning with Passover. Now, what does the 7 feast days do? The 7 feast days are the redemption of Israel. Those 7 feast days takes them from what? All the way to atonement, through atonement, right into what? Tabernacles. It's taking them typing redemption. There are 7 annual holy days beginning with Passover and ending with the last great day. You know that's what that last number 7 is called, the last great day. That's what we're in, the last great day. The cycle of the holy days is completed in 3 festival seasons by the 7th month of the sacred calendar, which is October. Bob was on this the other day. Passover and unleavened bread, the 1st month. Pentecost, the 3rd month. Trumpets and atonement, tabernacles, and last day is in the 7th month. All right, now Jesus performed all those miracles. Well, I want us to get on over here and look at this. This one has got the big writing, so all of you can read this. This guy's not a Christian. He's some kind of methodologist or something. So he brings a little different view, but I want you to read this. But he starts off with the Bible. 7 appears 54 times within Revelations, the final book of the Bible, but a grand total of 735, and that's the same way as the other ones. An example of this would be God resting on the 7th day after creating everything within the universe. As we explore the Bible, there were 7 main sections. The Law, the Prophets, we read that before. Gospel, General Epistle, Paul, and finally the book of Revelation. The Apostle John gave Jesus 7 titles, and Jesus himself gave 7 parables in Matthew 13 and performed 7 miracles on the Sabbath day. Keep going on down a little bit further. The reference to 7 don't stop there. There are 7 holy days, and of course there's no forgetting the 7 deadly sins. This one's interesting. The Star of David, we call it the 6-point Star of David, but in their tradition, it's a 6-point Star of David, but there is a center core that represents the spiritual dimension. Wasn't somebody talking about an inner core this morning? Okay. All right. So the star contains 7 areas within itself. Some Kabbalists wrap long strands of red string around the tomb of Rachel 7 times before cutting it into bracelets for protection. Other faiths in the meaning of number 7. The number 7 meaning isn't limited solely to the Bible. For example, if you take a look at Buddhism, the mother of Buddha died 7 days after giving birth to her son. There was also 7 factors of the enlightenment and 7 universal mental constituents. Within the Baha'i faith, which originated in Iran, is most popular within the Middle East, there are the 7 valleys, which are the 7 spiritual stages of development that one must travel through in order to reach God. Keep turning it over. If we separate faith, this one's neat. I like this one. If we separate faith and history for a moment, we can find varying references to this number throughout the world. For starters, there are 7 seas. There are 7 continents. There are 7 wonders of the world. There are 7 nobles executed in the Tower of Green and the Tower of Light. I don't even know what that is. But there are 7 numbers. There's only 7 numbers that takes up the whole Roman numeral. See it? I, V, X, L, C, D, and M. That constitutes the whole, what? The end of the Roman numeral. And there's also 7 notes in the diatonic scale. Everybody know what diatonic scale is? Say amen. I didn't think you'd say amen much. Somebody, wait a minute, who studied? It's the notes. The diatonic scale's the notes. Look, read. F, C, G, D, A, E, and B. There's only seven notes. Now, there's variations. Now, I read up on this. There are five whole tones or steps, and there are two half steps. Ha! About that. Abby, your daddy's pretty smart. I knew Richard would know that. Of course, it's not just the past that seven makes an appearance. Look, I want you to see this. So what does seven mean turned over within science? Well, the meteorological phenomenon whereby light is reflected, refracted, and dispersed through droplets of water, also known as a rainbow. That's a scientific thing. That's just not just, God just didn't throw that up there. That's scientific. Creates seven colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and pink. Seven is also, now this is interesting. Seven is also the primary number within Miller's Law. Now Miller was a psychologist, which is an idea proposed by psychologist George Miller related to the idea that our working memory on average can hold seven plus or minus objects. The original telephone number was only seven notes, seven digits. That's why it was seven digits. I looked that up again. I Googled it. Because you didn't use area codes then. You didn't have to. Y'all, some of the older ones, remember, you just really just dialed the last four numbers one time. Right? Well, then you had to start dialing 677-4691. Why? Because your brain can remember up to seven items at a time. There are seven celestial beings that are visible in space with the naked eye. Mars, Venus, Mercury, Venus. How do you do that? Saturn and the sun and the moon. So what does the number seven mean? Arguably, it could be the number of power, which is why it appears so many times throughout history. However, it is also possible that number seven has significance due to how often it is mentioned within religious texts. Symbol of completion and perfection in every tradition, angel number seven refers to the whole planetary order, the whole celestial dwelling, and the whole spiritual energy. You know, how many dimensions are there? Wow. All right, look at this. This is one. This is one he does. Obtaining when adding three, a celestial symbol of Trinity, which we know that's not true, but we know three is what? Brother Brown said three is what? Perfection. God is perfected in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's not divided. Okay? And then the four cardinal points are terrestrial materiality, which is what? Our redemption. The number seven is also the symbol of the union between the sky and the earth. Consequently, it is omnipresent in your life. There are 7 days in a week. There are seven colors in a rainbow. Seven numbers in the diatonic scale. There are seven centers of energy in yoga. There are seven planets in traditional astrology. And also one I want to give you. There are seven cycles. There are 7 year cycles in your life. That's how important seven is. You look, write these numbers. Well, just look. When you turn seven, think about things that happen. The next one was 14. Now think about this change in your life. 21. 28. 35. 42. I've lost a lot of you there. 49. 56. I'm getting close. Mine's going to be in 63. So 63, that's 56, 63, 70, 77. Dad's missed his by 2 years. Mama, this is yours. You'll be 77, right? Whoa, this will be mom's 7, 7, 7, 7. Goodness. And 84. But there are seven year cycles in your life. So this number seven, the reason I read all this is to give you an idea that that's why there's seven seals. Because the number seven is important. The seven number seven is completion. And it also refers, if you'll keep reading, to the heavens. There are seven heavens where the angelical order resides and where the archangels are princes. There are seven is the embodiment of divine perfection. Isn't the world was created in 7 days? Now this one right here, we're going to end on this. Now we know that number seven is always considered a lucky number. In the world, you know, you hit the jackpot, 777, right? Okay. But now watch this. When taking a closer look, the number seven quickly becomes initiation number. a mysterious number. Here's an example. And there is a couple of examples of math. It's some kind of a primary number that you can't add. I didn't get into that. Here's an example. Each lunar cycle, now ladies, we know what that 28-day cycle is, but we know the moon cycle is also, every 28 days the moon goes from full to dark. But did you know they were, if that was four sevens? Four sevens is 28. Now, to become initiated and open the door to the mystery, add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 and plus 7. You get 28. When you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 together to each other, you get 28. Strange, huh? That's what the guy said, strange. No, it's not strange. That number 7 is a perfect number. And if, but, you know, you say it's an odd number because it's 7, you know, it's 7. But 7 is all, our whole life is evolved around 7. You got 7 days in the week. The reason we come to church today is because it's the first day of the week. Yesterday was the 7th. All the Seventh-day Adventists went to church that day. But the 7th seal then is what? It's very important. That number 7 is completeness and perfection together. It is intertwined with the number 3 and the number 4 as we were looking at the four horse riders. And we were looking at what? Lion, ox, man, and eagle. We're looking at redemption and perfection. So we're going to be perfected. That number 7 is going to give us a lot of meaning. Let's stand to our feet. As we go further, I just wanted you to see what and you might have some other things you can look online. That was just a few things I picked up last night about the number 7. God loves the number 7. So we should love the number 7. But now remember, we as Christians, we've passed that. We live in an 8. But we're in a 7. We're in this cycles of 7, 7s and 7s and 7s, but we are in the 8th day spiritually. We are in the 8th day spiritually, but it takes those 7 seals, it takes those seals to put us in the future home, which is the 8th day. All the other, are y'all going to come and play? Or yeah, musicians, come. Musicians, come on. For the 7th time, Lord bless you. Maybe that'll help you a little bit. You can think about the number 7 until next Sunday and we saw the seal. The seal is there's silence in heaven. There's nothing. The blackboard is totally, or the whiteboard is totally empty. There's nothing there. There's silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. Brother Bram said, that's not so bad when you're doing something. He said, but when you can't move. He said, not an angel twitched. Nobody moved. Everything was silent. We'll read some of that next Sunday. But remember, to be silent to the world is to not be silent with God. You know, they ask, don't they ask you, so what are you going to do Saturday night? Well, you know, people in the world, you know, your buddies are going to go, well, we're going to go over to, I'm going to try to name it, Chops. We're going to go to Chops and have a few beers, and then we're going to go over this, and we're going to, you know, they give you a list of all these things to do that don't even interest you at all. But that's their normal. That's their normality. And then they look at you and you go, what are you going to do? I think I'm going to go home and read the Bible. You're going to do what? Go home and read the Bible? Oh, man, I read the Bible in the morning. We can go have a beer in the afternoon, you know? But that's the way the world is. But our silence to them, you know, remember the old saying, silence is deadly. Yeah. This silence is deadly. Because
right.
It's either going to put you in or put you out. This silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. It's a wonderful thing. Sing a song.
God is so good. God is so good. God.
He's so good.
Yeah.
your soul.
God,
he brought you to the greatest thing that ever hit the face of this earth, the message of the hour.
God is so
good. He's so good to me. Let's sing it. I love him so. Good to you?
Amen.
You know, we just try to live, we just try to love him a little bit. I mean, but if you've got the agape love inside of you, that's what loves God. All this other is, it's filial love. You know, you love to do this, you love your wife, and you love your mother, and you love your different things, but that's not like God's love. That's why Brother Brown said a million times a million times a million. I think he even put billions in there. When he went across that curtain of time, he said, you think about perfect love. He said, that ain't even a drop in the bucket what we have here to what we have, what they had over there. And it's inside of you today. It's inside you today. That Christ that we're talking about, the whole world sees religion. But they won't see it like they see it in us. They'll never see it, guys, folks, brothers, sisters. They will not see it. Because they're not meant to see it. There's only a special group of people that's going to see this message as not just being Brother Branham's message. No, this is my message. He delivered it to us and then he left. Moses delivered it to Joshua and he left. God delivered it to us and he left. But remember, he didn't leave. He came right back and went inside of you. So that we can understand this message. Not the print. Not the print. The live message. That, to me, that's what that seventh seal is going to do. It's going to take us from looking at events. God just took all the events away. Silence in heaven. Nothing moved. No event. But it's the greatest event that ever was in the world. Is that God's dealing with you and the guy sitting beside of you probably don't even have any, know anything. You know, Bob's sitting down there in that cubicle with all those lawyers and stuff around him and they're doing their thing and the little Bob's just in a, he's just in a little cocoon, you know, thinking about God and thinking about the prophet's message and thinking about scripture and God's talking to him and all hell's breaking loose around him, but silence in heaven. About the space of a half an hour. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. Sing it one more time. as you're dismissed. Oh, God is so good. God bless you. See you back on Wednesday night. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good
to me. He answers prayer.